Good afternoon, Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Megan Turnquist. We'll also hear from Kara Hart as well. China buying U.S. soybeans, confirming rumors that they were in the market. North Dakota Soybean Council Executive Director Stephanie Sinner says that is always good news for North Dakota's soybean farmers.
It does. We were excited to see that come out in news yesterday and overnight, looking at China placing some orders for purchases of U.S. soybeans. So scheduled out of, they're scheduled for July, and they'll probably come out of both the Gulf and the PNW, but always PNW purchases are a positive for our producers here in North Dakota.
And Sinner says, typically, this is not the time of year when China buys beans from the U.S.
Traditionally, this time of year is a slow export time for us. Obviously, we're not, we're just getting ready to start growing the next crop. So this will be 2019 beans that ship while South America, Brazil, Argentina are currently harvesting soybeans. So it's a unique time for us to be competing with them, and glad to see the movement for sure.
E-Hedger market analyst Ryland Texter says soybean prices off the PNW, the most competitive market right now, as sales to China picks up.
If China's going to start to step in here, they're getting a really good bargain as far as price goes. So I think naturally we're trying to get this thing moving, but just over the next week, with May coming into first notice day, there should be a heavy amount of grain that should naturally get sold at this time. So the timing is pretty impeccable, I'd say, to get all this news that buyers are starting to take advantage of this lower price situation.
Texter says soybeans out at the Pacific Northwest will remain competitive on the export market until Brazil's currency values fall even further.
Anytime we seem to get any really good idea that that China is going to step in here, it seems like the Brazilian real just continues to break harder and harder into this. So, and that's been the big issue as far as beans goes, this massive implosion of the Brazilian real, you know, to keep their prices competitive. So hopefully the Chinese start to honor their commitments that they've made with the phase one deal, but we still are going to have to fight just in this time frame with South America to get that business.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending April 16th, reporting old crop corn sales of 727,000 metric tons, 20% less than the previous week, 49% below the four-week average. USDA reported net cancellations of new crop corn of 56,000 tons. Old crop soybean sales reported at 345,000 tons. That is a 41% increase over the previous week, but it is 48% less than the four-week average. Net old crop wheat sales are up 37% from the previous week, down 22% from the four-week average at 245,000 tons.
Lawmakers are continuing to work on COVID-19 relief for farmers and rural America. Red River Farm Network's Kara Hart has this report.
In a COVID-19 call this morning, Senate Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Debbie Stabenow addressed concerns on the $125,000 payment limits for direct payments in the USDA's COVID-19 relief package.
Given the circumstances, certainly the USDA has flexibility to address that. They did in market facilitation where they didn't use the payment limits at all. So they have flexibility given the circumstances. I do want to stress that we need every part of the farm economy being supported. And these trade payments, frankly, as an additional support a report we put out a little earlier showed, we're not going necessarily to the parts of the agricultural economy that really needed it the most. We're trying to fix that and the CARES Act.
Stabenow said they're trying to better understand this program. Her team is in constant contact with the USDA. Minnesota Senator Tina Smith said the aid is a matter of urgent need for Minnesota farmers right now.
Particularly in dairy where prices have just plummeted, demand has dried up because of the loss of food service and restaurant business and the challenges of trying to figure out how to shift the supply chain over more to grocery store type distribution centers. It just doesn't happen overnight. So we're very worried about it and paying close attention and doing everything we can to help Minnesota's dairy farmers.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Kara Hart for the Red River Farm Network.
Well, the House is voting now on another round of coronavirus funding. Often referred to as the CARES Act 3.5, the legislation would provide additional $310 billion to replenish the Paycheck Protection Program and Economic Injury Disaster Loan dollars. Here's Christensen's CPAs and consulting managing partner, John Christensen.
As you probably have heard, the Paycheck Protection Program had run out of money. Within that $310 billion, there was $60 billion of that designated for small lenders and community banks, helping them funding through this crisis area, this crisis time as well. We had $60 billion for additional funding for the Economic Injury and Disaster Loan Program in underserved areas. And so that is an area that of looking at research in terms of what's declared as an underserved area.
Christensen continues.
And then $25 billion to expand the COVID-19 testing. For us to get out of this pandemic, the testing is going to be a critical component of that, so we can identify and isolate and know where the hot pockets are associated with the virus.
The economic stimulus package allows farmers to be eligible for Small Business Administration, Economic Injury Disaster Loans, and Emergency Economic Assistance Grant programs. These are low-interest loans from the federal government and grants up to $10,000 to help farmers get through the coronavirus pandemic. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The forecast looks positive for seeding wheat. Westbred Technical Product Manager Grant Merring says the seeding activity is underway in certain areas.
There are a lot of seeders running in southwest North Dakota, central North Dakota, and beginning to go in sort of the I-94 south corridor of Minnesota, where folks are still going to plant some wheat.
To get the spring wheat crop off to a good start, attention should be given to seed depth and seeding rates. Across eastern North Dakota, northwestern Minnesota, the general recommendation is 1.4 million pure live seed calculated for germination.
However, you could dial it up a couple hundred thousand seeds per acre, 200,000 seeds down, 200,000 seeds up, depending on both your planting date, how early you're planting, and depending on the varieties you're planting. A great way to think of it is weak strawed varieties, you could dial down a little bit from that 1.4. Strong strawed varieties, you could keep it at 1.4 or perhaps push it up a little bit, depending on the variety. Nothing to be too worried about, but if you want to go for maximum yield, you can make some small tweaks up and down based off of that kind of 1.4 million as a baseline.
Bismarck, North Dakota farmer Clark Coleman is planting malting barley.
Conditions are actually a little bit on the dry side on the top, which is wonderful for no-till, and we seem to have good moisture. And about an inch down, half an inch down, it seems to be nice moisture, you know. So, yeah, things are going good. We've been hitting it hard, pretty hard here for 3 days now. So,
Coleman should wrap up that barley planting today and then move on to spring wheat.
Probably jump into the wheat, and then I want to do a little bit of germ under a pivot, so that's probably a week for sure off yet, so that'll give me time to finish up the spring wheat and maybe do a few other things before I get onto the germ.
A report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on the Smithfield Foods processing plant in Sioux Falls has been released. Following visits to the plant on April 16th and 17th, the CDC is recommending Smithfield implement further hygiene and sanitation efforts using personal protective equipment, continue social distancing standards, along with implementing screening and sick leave protocols to prevent further spread of COVID-19. In response, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem said the Department of Health will continue to work with the company so it can reopen safely as soon as possible.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending April 16th shows net beef sales of 11,200 metric tons, 45% less than the previous week and 35% below the four-week average. beef exports reported at 13,600 metric tons, down 19% from the previous week and 20% below the four-week average. Primary beef destinations are South Korea, Taiwan, Canada, and Hong Kong. Net pork sales are reported at 39,800 metric tons, down 13% from the previous week and 11% less than the four-week average. Pork exports are reported at 40,900 tons, 12% more than the previous week and unchanged from the four-week average. Primary pork destinations are China, Mexico, Japan, South Korea, and Canada.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association has sent a letter to Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue urging USDA against payment limitations for cattle producers in the coronavirus food assistance program. Currently, the program caps payments at $125,000 per commodity with $250,000 per producer or entity. Analysis by Oklahoma State University indicate that a $125,000 cap would limit payments for cow-calf operations with 505 head or more of cattle, backgrounders with 781 head, and feed yards with 606 head of cattle.
22 members of the World Trade Organization, including the United States, will keep food and agriculture products moving through export channels. The joint statement was released as other countries imposed export restrictions due to the coronavirus pandemic. The WTO said these restrictions only increase food insecurity for poverty-stricken parts of the world. In addition to the U.S., the statement was signed by the EU, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, and Japan. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Crop nutrition is a priority for as growers prepare for the 2020 growing season. Mosaic Technical Products Manager Sherry Cook.
So fertility, as it sits today, makes up about 60% of what that farmer is going to get for a yield. So 60% of every farmer's fertility decisions makes up their yield. And so that's a big piece that we want to make sure that we can help growers get right. And so with that large of a portion of their yield, we want to make sure that we're putting the right amount out there, we're putting it out there in the right place at the right time, and of course the right source.
And Cook says fertilizer is in place for this spring, but growers are encouraged to communicate with their ag retailers.
Situated where we are in the upper Midwest and with the large warehouses that we have in this neck of the woods, we're confident that we'll be able to supply the farmers with what they need.
The impact of coronavirus is being felt throughout the meat case. Compared to other proteins, beef may face the greatest risk from the current market uncertainty. According to a special analysis from Erner Berry Consulting, beef is at a disadvantage because of its price point. The possibility of an extended downturn in the general economy is also another negative. Erner Berry says the value of cash hogs has dropped 45% since March 24th, hurt by the closure of major packing plants and the backlog in hog numbers. For chicken, the loss of food service and export business has been significant, and retail demand has been unable to take in the current supplies. Turkey has seen mixed results, with whole bird inventories remaining tight.
Checking markets before we leave you this noon hour. We're seeing a mixed market now. May wheat Minneapolis is down a quarter penny, while the July is up 1 1/4. Chicago May wheat's now down a quarter. Kansas City May wheat is down 6 cents. May corn down 0.75 cents at 3.16 3/4. December's down 0.25 at 3.36 1/2. May soybeans trading 1 1/3 cents higher at 8.36 1/2. November is down 0.75 cents at 8.45 3/4. Canola is trading 3.20 a metric ton higher at 4.56.90. Cattle markets trading mixed here as well. This is the Red River Farm Network.